This time I invite you to remain seated as we turn to the first portion of Scripture from Revelation chapter 21. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Scriptures. The new heaven and new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I'm making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is a scripture from St. John the Divine, to Revelations. Now we turn to the gospel. I invite you to stand, please. From the sixth verse from John's Gospel, chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to bring light, to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens every world, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace, full of truth. This is the gospel of Christ for the people of God. So you may be seated, please. If I should ask individually how was Christmas, then I would get some very positive, good answers. And my Christmas was punctuated with two funerals in preparation for Christmas. It was Advent on the 16th. Of the month, I had to attend the funeral of a cousin in Jamaica. And then, while in Jamaica, in preparation to return, a first cousin died in Brooklyn, New York. So, had to cover a lot of miles by road and by air to Jamaica, back to Georgia, and then to New Jersey, to New York for this funeral. But interestingly, the funeral in Jamaica of this dear sister who had lived for 4 score and 10 plus 2 years. I'm mathematical, the children, how many years that? 92, okay. 92 years, and those 92 years, she served 62 years in the church. Different offices, different positions in the church. But interestingly also was that on my way to this funeral, I passed by the little church that I attempted my first sermon. Through the student Christian movement in high school, we were assigned to preach at that church, and there were two other colleagues of mine, and I elected to be the preacher. And as Brother Isaiah shared with us earlier on, I took my text from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 24. I remember all that happened because it was, I believe it was an easy text, and I would have a lot to say. It says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow." So the 3 points was clearly stated there: invitation, sacrifice, and service. But when I got to face the congregation, I struggled to get through in 5 minutes. I kept repeating myself, I remember. And so through the years, I've come to realize that it's no more difficult to contain yourself within 25 minutes. There's so much to be said, but those are pleasant memories. But another thing about going to Jamaica to be a part of this funeral service was the homegoing of one who was dear to us, a dear cousin. And so I was celebrating 45th wedding anniversary at a funeral service. It was pretty interesting. But how beautiful it was to have shared in that moment. And so today, I'm also reminded when we think about the condition of the weather. While I was in Indiana, services were canceled for 2 Sundays in succession because of they had about 3 feet of snow, you know, and then the doors of the church couldn't be opened. And so there was no, but it also reminds me of the preacher who was out of church for 2 Sundays because of bad weather. And so he had a lot of catching up to do when he went to church the following week. And he was preaching and preaching and preaching. And he went on and on and on. He started to lose the members. They were walking out one by one as he continued on and on until now there was only one worshiper left. And at the moment when he continued to preach to this one person, the gentleman came up and handed him the keys and said, "When you are through, you may close the church for us." I won't be that long today. Brother Eric, it's all right. I won't ask you to close the church. So today, as we come to the last Sunday of 2017, I thought that an appropriate message today would be to look back and to look forward. And so as we think of the scriptures in Genesis, it talks about in the beginning. And here in John, he starts out with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And here in Revelation said, "It is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." So we have in our God a beginning without an end. We are now at this pivotal point of our life on this faith journey. And on this last Sunday of 2017, We cannot identify with a two-faced statue, the statue of Janus, the Roman statue. The Roman statue as their god, a god with two faces. I think Brother Eric is bringing it up shortly. One looking forward and the other looking backward. The statue of Janus is so named for the Roman god. And I was sharing with the congregation earlier on that we had a privilege of going down to Jordan and at Petra, where gods were etched in stones that the people worshiped then. People worship trees. They worship the days. They worship the months. So the Roman statue, Janus, was for January. And this statue looks forward and looks backward. It could present some measure of optimism on one hand and pessimism on the other. But then the Lord is reminding us through Jesus' words that you shall have no other God beside me, and I only shall be the one you worship. There shall be no other God but the true and living God. So the statue of Jonas represents people who worship idols, worship the idol gods, and he's now summoning us to worship the true God, which is this year, which is coming to an end in a matter of 12 hours and 15 minutes. Friends, as we gather on this day, we are being invited to look forward to 2018. We need to look in both directions, and our God is looking with us today, sharing in our sadness as well as in our gladness. So amidst God's abundant blessings, we have heard and experienced and seen much turbulence and tragedies on the journey to this time and place. To name a few, think of the flood rains of Texas. So many homes, property, lives were destroyed. Think of the terrorist acts in Las Vegas, a point of entertainment where many people's lives were snuffed out. Think of the wildfires in California. Again, homes and property and lives destroyed. Looking back, as we sit here in the comfort and the stillness and the quietness and the peace of this atmosphere, think of worshipers that were shot and killed throughout this land while they worship. Think of those who have been faced with the barrages of hurricanes in Puerto Rico and the British Virgin Islands and throughout the Caribbean. And the word of hope for the people in Puerto Rico, some of many families, that electricity will be restored between mid-June and July. Friends, we need to count our blessings and take nothing for granted. So while we recount and enumerate these tragedies, let us pause and take a moment to count these blessings. On this day, we gather to praise our God for the past and to trust him for what is to come. As we look forward as a people of faith, we can find meaning and true significance in the scripture as well as many of the hymns that we sing. One of the great hymns that I think of is that which opens almost all Methodist conferences. And are we yet alive to see each other's face? And one of the moving verses says, yet what troubles have we seen? What mighty conflicts past, fightings without and fears within, since we assembled last. So the church has been faced with so many challenges and changes through the years. Some of our pastors have been as removed from the ministry as a result of defying the policies and principles and practices of our church. Those who might have been attempting and engaged in same-sex marriages. So the church is constantly being challenged. And now we have come to this point where John the Divine says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So this morning, in this scripture, we take an imaginary journey over into Turkey, the country Turkey on the island of Patmos. We're on this little island. St. John Divine was exiled as a result of proclaiming scriptures and preaching. He was exiled and to confinement on the Isle of Patmos. Patmos is a small Greek island. I guess the population was 3,000 when we visited in 2007. And the high school, young people, there were 12 children in high school in the island of Patmos. And this was where John the Divine had his vision and shared his experience of this vision with the churches. So this morning I want for you to go walk with us as we take our spiritual journey. We'll walk among rocks, meandering our way into the deep caverns to meet St. John, the exiled preacher praying in the stone on his bended knees. And his knees were calloused as a result of kneeling on those stones over the years. And you'll observe the imprints of his knees in the stones where he knelt to pray. And in his vision, he makes a prophetic utterance, and he said, I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. And so this statement was like a great prophetic climax after he had already sent letters to the churches of his vision for the churches. And I share those visions with you this morning. He said to the church in Ephesus, this is a call to endurance. To the church in Smyrna, he said, is a call to faithfulness. In Pergamum, refrain from serving idol gods. Serve the true and only God. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. To the church in Thyatira, he said, guard yourself against false prophets, the Jezebel. In Sardis, he called for the church to be awake. Call to awake, to wake the church. In Laodicea, he said, you need to be sincere. There's no room for lukewarmness. And here it was that John was saying that the church was neither hot nor cold, and the Lord is going to spew you out. to the church in Philadelphia, and the message was to be a true example of love. Be the open door which no one is able to open or shut. And as John arose from his vision, there's this mighty revelation, a new day, a great transformation. It's now time for evaluation, a time for anticipation. Friends, let us take another backward glance. As we think of the statue of Jannes, let us apply that to our lives and ask ourselves in 2017, what has God done for us as individuals and as corporately as a people of God, the body of Christ? I believe God has helped us through the challenges and changes of life. God has delivered many of us from sickness to wellness. In times of doubt and uncertainty, God has delivered us to hope. God has truly turned many sadness into joys. God has comforted us in times of sorrow. So we ask ourselves, what will God do for us in 2018? Let us be open to God's leading. As my district superintendent in West Virginia, now a bishop in New York, Tom Bickerton, always said, do not ask when you pray, do not ask God to bless what you're about to do, but ask God to bless what he'd have you do. Not what your will, but let God's will be done. The song, What Will God Do? The song states, it is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he will do for you. But let us prepare to have a closer walk with God in 2018. Again, as I was sharing with the congregation this morning, in a premarital council in preparation for someone getting married, this lady, the final session, I asked her, do you think you are now ready to take on this great challenge of marriage? And she said, Reverend, I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm prepared. Friends, many times we're not ready, but we must be prepared. Prepared for God's inevitables. Pray for a strengthening of faith in the coming days. Let there be no room for complacency. Be engaged in some form of Christian service. Be active for the Lord. According to one preacher, you can't afford to be complacent and comfortable, to remain in your own comfort zone. In order to be a follower of Christ, you have to be prepared to make sacrifices at times. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. Sometimes we have all good intentions to do noble things for ourselves, but sometimes God has other plans for you. Let us be open to God's leading and God's direction. According to this crude preacher, he said, some of us are really sitting on the premises instead of standing on God's promises. So friends, I was going through the Reader's Digest, the November edition, and it says, it is easy to be brave when there is no danger. It is easy to be kind when there is no hardship. It's the challenging times and how we react to them. It's moments of tranquility that define us. Remember, Paul wrote 13 letters, and strangely, 7 of those letters were sent from prison. And while he was in prison, Philippi encouraged the saints, and he said, "The one who has begun a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, let us not be just faithful in coming to worship here at Logan First United Methodist Church every Sunday morning. Let us be faithful in performing God's will and God's work beyond the confines of these walls. Here the worship ends this morning, but the service begins when we depart these doors. God continues to call us to courage, endurance, to faithfulness, to service, to be sincere, a deepening of faith, and God is calling us to be a blessing as we bless others in 2018. God's blessings are numerous, countless. Indeed, John didn't write too many hymns. Charles was a hymn writer. And after his as well as his brother's conversion, Charles wrote the hymn, "O God of all grace, thy goodness we praise." And in the final stanza he said, "We all shall commend the love of our friend, forever a beginning, what never shall end." God's grace, it begins, but it never ends. We do not know much about tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. Friends, believe that to be true and trust God to see you through. So God's blessings, a beginning that will never end. God's compassion, a beginning that will never end. God's grace will never end. God's mercy will never end. God's justice will never end. God's love will never cease. Let us today celebrate and give thanks for this great beginning that will never, never come to an end. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we embark on the threshold of a new year, hitherto you have led us. And by your grace, we have been kept. By your love, we have been fed with divine charity. Be with us, Lord, and help us to enjoy a closer walk with you in the coming days. As we commend ourselves now to your care and to your keeping, may your will be done through our lives. We pray this prayer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In response to the word, we make our promise now in complete dedication to our God and our Savior. As we make this promise to serve the Master to the end, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Hymn 396.
396, O Jesus, I have promised, is the hymn of commitment. Would you stand if you're able?
O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side. Sighs that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and with me then. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Sense clear and still above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art with glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I